If not, you'd like to read with us in Proverbs, the 6th chapter. And this scripture comes to our mind when this week we've heard of decisions being made by people that used to call themselves Christians that is in total violation of the Bible. And then we see decisions being made of those that stand in the crossroads and the Lord dealing with them and the decisions that they made. And I'm just wondering how many times do people realize just the decisions that they make, what will it cost them? Just what is the outcome of it? Are they really making a conscious decision with all the facts? You know, anybody that's going to make an important decision in life, if we're smart, we go and we research it. And we try and find out all the facts that we can that's involved in this. So we can make a decision that is informed. Not going into it blind or ignorantly. But you're informed beforehand so you know that what you're doing is right. But men and women across America today, we close our eyes to the things of the Word of the Lord. We stop our ears so we don't want to know. And we think that's going to get us by. I won't be held responsible for the decisions I make. But God said you're without an excuse. You're going to come before me. You're going to give an account. And there'll be no excuses made. Why? Because you had my word. You could have read it and known. You heard the message and it was prayed. Just because you said no and rejected, that's no defense. God said it, I'll do it. And you and I will be required to give an account of what we did with it. Alright, in 6th chapter of Proverbs, we're going to start reading with the 20th verse. Now this is being spoke here to the sons. And you'll find here quite a bit of Proverbs was wrote to the children that they might be informed, but you can also turn this around as you can about any part of the Bible, and it could have been words spoke to a girl the same, because it doesn't matter which side you're on, it lets you know whether you're right or whether you're wrong. But listen, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Now, right there, it lets us know day nor night. If we teach our children the things that is really right, they've got something that will be there with them day and night, no matter where they go. It's there for them. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is life, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, and the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire into his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Listen to that again. So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Now, I want each and every one of you to pay close attention here to this 26th verse. That was what brought me to this scripture this week. For the means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to the peace of bread. And you and I, we think that that is not something of very much value. But yet we'll look at it and we say, oh, it's nourishing. I need that. I need this in my life. I can't make it without it. But it comes down to that with what God was saying. Instead of having a meal, instead of having something that would sustain you for a whole week or for a lifetime, you brought your life down to just one piece of bread. It don't matter very much. Well, you and I today, man, is selling itself just for the desires of a woman, or a woman for the desires of a man. And in America today, we act like it doesn't matter. I heard talk good where he was talking to men, and they were saying they were preaching, but yet they had been war with pornography for years and years and years. They just couldn't see to get away from it. Well, if you don't buy it, or you don't put yourself in a place where it's at, why are you having such a problem with it? If the devil might try and put the thought in your mind, but you can pray about it, and so get it erased. But when you hold it in your hand, it's because your heart is desired. And the Bible says, what's in the heart is what is coming out of our mouth. So, if we're saying we're warring with these things, it's because that we have surrendered unto the devil. And we're not fighting a battle if we're picking it up. If we're in a battle and we're carrying the enemy's flag and we're holding it up high, it's because we surrender. It's not because we're fighting against them, but we've surrendered unto them. And if we do that to the devil, it's because we've surrendered unto him. And he's become our master. We don't have to war with these things when we surrender unto God. Granted, the devil's going to come and tempt us, but God said, I won't let you be tempted above that that you're able to bear. You and I today, he's going to make a way for our escape with no temptation, right? Surely if our weakness is sad, just before we get right with God, that doesn't mean that we'll never be tempted with it. But God will find a way. If you ever come to temptation, right? God will find a way for us to resist it. But we must first reach out, take a hold of the hands of God, and be willing to walk with it. You'll find here it says that we are brought to just a piece of bread. And you look at that, how cheap that is, how worthless that is to an hungry man. One little piece of bread, it don't bow to very much. But Christ said, I'm the bread of life. But it's something we can enjoy day after day after day, all through the night. It's not something that brings our life down to where we were, something, but it makes us worth something to all that looks at us. And here, as he was speaking about this, you know, you'll find that so many times in life, and I've seen pictures, and Tammy Baker was one that, I don't know how much it cost her for her makeup for a week, but she had enough eye makeup on that I wonder how her eyelids even moved, and how horrible it looked. How anybody could look in the mirror and put that on and think that it made her look better. If that made her look better, she was one horrible looking thing without it. But you and I today, look at what they do to try entice somebody That's what it is. They put this makeup and all on to try and entice somebody. The girls, when they go out today, they're not going out half naked. So that some of the girls say, oh, she looks good. They're going out to entice some man to love that girl. You and I today, that's the same reason that men dress the way they do. It's the fact the opposite said. Instead of what God thinks about her, and how does God look at me? What does God think about the way I dress and the appearance that I put forth when I go out? God wants you and I to be Christ-like, whether a man or a woman, to be exactly what He would have us to be. That our life might be something that would be an example. Here, He said, bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. You and I, you know, not many people wants to have that, is it? They want to forget the laws of God. They want to throw away the commandments. Everything that the Bible says, anything that gives us instruction of how to live, they want to put that about somebody else's neck. That applies to somebody else. It don't apply to me. You and I, when we stand before God, we're going to give an account of it. God tells us here, bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. You and I, if we raise our children to teach them that fornication is wrong, adultery is wrong, alcohol is wrong, drugs is wrong, lust is wrong, go down the whole list, anything you want to name it there, that comes to sin. If we raise our children and we teach them these things, when they go out the world, they start to go out into the world, into life, they'll know what when it comes to them. They'll know what the right decision is. But you hear people say, oh, I want my children to make their own decision. Well, you and I, we turn a child loose to his own devices. He'll end up in hell. God never defined it upon him that they might not let it clear that they get a door daily. Something they know is part of their being. That's why when I was in sin, but I couldn't find it, I couldn't escape for it. They was inbred in me, just like if I was a Hindley. My daddy passed on to me that Christian life that he lived in front of me. So no matter where I went, I couldn't get that out of my eyes, out of my mind, of what was right and what was wrong. And because of that, it tormented me where sin was not the pleasure that it was to those that didn't know about God. They didn't know how they appeared in the eyes of God. I did. And because of it, I was always thinking about the consequences. Just what was it costing me? If I died, how I would stand before God. It wasn't a question in my mind. You'll be okay. I knew if I died, I was lost. There wasn't a question in my mind. I knew I was lost. You can go with your five men sitting in the bar with somebody else in line, a drink that happened, thinking they're having a good time, and you talk to them, and they say, oh, I'm alright, I'm a good person, I haven't never killed anybody, but they failed to listen to the word that God said, it's wrong for you to be with your neighbor's wife, it's wrong even for you to look and look the Lord, and say it, the name we might say, oh, I might have made a mistake, that might be a little wrong, but I'll be alright, that is the way God looks at it, it's either righteous or it's sin, it's right or it's wrong, and when we stand before God, righteous God. You know, have you ever heard of somebody that justified what they was doing? I worked with a man in North Carolina. He is a very likable guy. And when he was young, he made moonshine. And he would talk about it. He was up, had kids, probably early teens. And he said, I'd still be making it because I'd only work two nights a week. And he said, I went around with $600 to $1,000 in my pocket. He said, now I work 6 days. He said, I'm lucky if I got 50. He said, the only reason that I ain't doing it now, my wife said she'd turn me in. He said, then I'd be in prison for murder because I'd have to kill her. But he went around making it and justifying it because he had plenty of money until the law called him. And he pulled the tithe. And that was when he wasn't happy about all that money he had while he's in prison. When he got out, he wanted to go back making it again. Why? He soon forgot what it cost him. Man, here, we so soon forget what sin costs us. And if we haven't had to pay some outrageous price, we just think that it's going to be all right. It ain't costing me that much. And it's just because we haven't been pulled in before the judge and heard what the sentence was. But if you can sit in the courtroom there before God and listen to other people's lives, how they're being judged, you begin to bow your head. Have you ever been in a courtroom? I have, I'm sat there just in traffic court. And you see people sitting there waiting for their turn to come up, and they lean over and punch somebody when the judge sitting for them. And they say, oh my, I'm in trouble now because mine is worse than that. You and I, we were standing there hearing people's lies, hearing the judge of God forgive us. So now we be saying, oh my, I'm next. If I But we're blind today because the devil don't let us see that our sin is going to cost us. And man, because of the enticement of sin, is brought down to that would normally be thrown away. You know, it's so easy to say, I'm okay. I know people that's worse than I am. God does not say nowhere in the Bible that only the worst are going to hell. He says all those that reject the plan of salvation, they're going to hell. You can be as good as a man can be in this life. But if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, you're on your road to hell. You can bow your knee to Buddha, to Muhammad, all the other things that man wants to recognize as being a God. You can bow your knee to every saint that man wants to hold up. But if you stand before God and you not bow under the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and repented before Him of your sin, all your prayers. Why? Because He is the only one that can forgive you of sin. He is that door. All these others we want to pray to, it's a waste of time. Christ said, I am your mediator, and He must come through it by Him. Mary, she might have been a wonderful woman because she found favor in the sight of God, and she carried the Son of God. But she can't answer your prayer. She just there at the grave. Her bones just as anybody else is. But Christ is the only one that comes forth victorious and waited at the right hand of the Father to come and gather us home. And you and I today, we must recognize that sin is going to be paid for and we're not going to be able to get around it. Here, in what we read to you, he said, bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Have you ever turned your mind and your heart over to God when you were facing something in life and you didn't know how to go? And all at once, it would come to you what the Scripture said. And it was leading you. You ever laid down to go to sleep? Maybe you had a burden upon your mind of some lost soul or something in life that you didn't know what to do about. And you just go off to sleep. And maybe in the middle of the night you wake up and the Word of God comes to you. And it's an answer unto the problem that you went to sleep thinking about. It shows that 24 hours a day, that God that we put our faith and trust in is watching over us. We may be asleep, but He's not. He's still watching over us. And you ever woke up in the morning and you began maybe to hear the birds sing and see the sun rain on a new day, and you start thinking about the blessings of God, and His Scripture will start to roll in your mind. And the first thing you know, it begins to fall in your heart. It's real. God told you this is another day I give you. And I've not left you yet. I'm right here leading you and nursing you. When that's a chimney. When I was a sin, I never failed that faith. When I rose on a new day, they were torment still there. When I thought I'd joined the night before, it had already won. And I felt that emptiness there. That old man was still not satisfied. But with God, you can find that each and every day, though we're facing a trial that maybe might take us to our knees several times a day, we can still have peace between us and God. Have you ever been to the place where you was burdened so, facing such battles, everything, that seemed like all you could do was pray? And instead of being like the world when they're going through hard times and trouble, you get to the point where you start saying, Lord, just come and take me home. God, I don't want to keep it living here. There's nothing for me to stay here for. Lord, can't I just go today? What do you want me to stay here for? Nobody wants to hear what I've got to say. And about that time, you feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit come and let you know He's not done with you yet. When He is, He will be there to take you home. Kill to occupy, to stand up on that one, to make up the head, to be that one that He can depend upon. And when we do, we'll find, no matter what the devil was trying to discourage us with, we can find that the blessings of God will raise us above that. You know, people may turn their back and walk away from God and choose to have nothing to do with Him. Man will sell his soul. You know, when I was reading this, being brought to a piece of bread, I also thought that Esau sold his birthright for just a bowl of food. People are selling their right into heaven for just a few minutes in a bed with a woman or a man. Or just another drink of alcohol. Just another shot of drugs. Not realizing that could be their last one. You know, the Bible speaks about if
you with the neighbor's wife, in other words, and the husband comes to find you, the rage of him,
you take your life. And yet people risk that. People will... How many times have you heard in the news people that you would have thought had their life together the way the world looks at it, they was making money, big stars and all that, making piles of money, but they accidentally died from an overdose of drugs. The devil knew when they shot it in there what it was going to do to them. But he wasn't telling them that. They were just trying to feel good. But that we get from God, it makes us feel good. And it puts us in our right mind. It teaches us just what God wants of us, what He requires of us. And you and I today, we can look at all the Bible has to say about how He wants us to live and think, well, the world has changed. It's not necessary this day and time, because you'd be too odd, too peculiar if you did that. The Bible says my people are peculiar. You and I, if we live a Christian life, we're going to be peculiar to those that choose not to. But when we stand before God, there'll be nobody there saying that Christian is peculiar. They'll be saying, oh, I wish I was like them. I wish I was like them. You and I today, God's put it within reach. What's our decision? What is it that we're selling the Lord for? Is it for a cheap thrill here? Is it for some friend that we afraid if we live for the Lord, they might forsake us? You know, I found in life, you don't put your trust in friends. Because I found people that you thought would never, never turn their back and walk away from you. In just a few years, they will. It's very few people that you'll have that will be your friend for life. Very few. And if you stand upon God's Word, it's going to separate a lot of people from you. They won't want nothing to do with you. But I'm so thankful. God's Word is true. We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's a friend that's there no matter what, no matter when. We can reach out and take hold of Him, no matter what we're facing. He was put to the test back in the Bible. Men that was tried and tested, and God proved His Word, I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end. Did He deliver them always? No. There's a lot of them that died taking their stand for God. Why? It's appointed unto man once to die. You and I, it may be that if we stand for God, that we might be put to death for it. But when you go out of this life, standing for the Lord, doing that that's right, you have no fear. Why? Because God said, I'll be with you. If we put our faith and trust in God, He's able to deliver even in this day and this hour in which we live. Don't sell God out for that that's of no value. That's really, you know, and I realize there is a big business in, I guess you say, the flesh trade. But you know, there wouldn't be whorish women if there wasn't men in sin chasing after that. There wouldn't be men like that if there wasn't women like that. It takes two. But God said He can deliver us from all that. There is nothing that can bind us but what God has, what it takes to loose us and set us free. The devil's not invented a sin that can bind us, that God don't have what it takes to break those chains. He can set us free. You'll find the man that they found in the Bible. They couldn't find any place that would keep him happy. They just broke it all happy. But when God cast out the devil out of the captive, where was he? He was clothed in his right mind. We walk away from those things. Let God have our heart, our life, our total being. We can find some thing, joy and happiness. We wonder what took us so long to find it. What took us so long to see what was right there in front of us? And just because the devil blinded our eyes while we stand and sing, will you come? Whatever the devil is trying to bind you with, keep you from turning your heart and life over to the Lord, if you will truly humble yourself before God, confess your sin, come before Him with truly a broken heart and willing to obey God, surrender and all, not coming with reservation, but just saying, Lord, here I am. God, I admit I've made a mess of my life. And only You can straighten it out. God, here I am. We surrender to that. We can leave there a new man or a new woman. Why? Because He can make us new again. It's not something that we can do. I know I was in sin. They will say that the devil will tell me, you can't live without. You can have found it. But I found when I called to the Lord, God was able to take that that I thought I could reveal. That temptation that I thought that there was no way I could live without, God was able to give me that strength that I could walk right by and say, no, what's going on? You and I today, God can do the same for each and every one of us. While we sing, will you come? Do you really want to live for the Lord? Do you really want to be free from the sin in your life that's binding you? And I don't care, you know, if you have something in your life that you just think that there's no way that I can defeat this. There's no way that I can overcome it. Give it over to the hand of God. Just see what a difference it made. Don't try and fight the battle. He said, when you've done all that you can to stand, then stand and see the glory of God. You and I today, when we lay it in the hands of the Lord, the battle's no longer ours, but it's God. And He can give us the victory.